The title is clunky, but the wine talk is smooth. You're listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast.
Hey, everyone, and welcome to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. And for the second time, but the last time he was on was February of 2020, episode 50. He's back, the proprietor of Heavenly Vines, a great wine store in Tokyo. It is Jamie Paquin. Jamie, thanks so much for being on the pod.
I'm happy to be here. Thanks for visiting our store last few weeks ago.
I realized my last day in Tokyo, what better thing to do than to drink wines from Canada and Ontario? But the crazy part is, I'm in Tokyo, and where were you?
I was with eight Japanese people touring Niagara and Prince Edward County. So it's funny how timing can be like that.
Yeah, but I had a great time. I had a great time with your wife, drinking some actually Clos and Chaise Chardonnay, and just chatting with her about the store and everything. So it was really great to see it. So I think the first thing I just want to tell everyone: if you are in Japan, if you're in Tokyo, go check out Heavenly Vines. You have such a good selection from BC and Nova Scotia and Ontario. It's a great store.
Yeah, and Japan's a single market too, so our online business reaches anywhere. If I hadn't known you were in Okinawa, I might have tried to get you to get a few bottles down there for your drinking pleasure while you were there too.
That's the one thing. Well, let's talk a little bit about just the wine culture in Japan. And I'm not going to be an expert. I was there for 2 weeks. There's nothing worse than when someone goes to a country for 2 weeks and pretends like they know everything. I certainly found in Okinawa and a lot of the restaurants I went to, there was still a limited amount of wine on the lists that I saw.
Yeah, the epicenter of the wine culture is the big cities, and then it really drops off like that too. I think maybe it's not that similar to here. You know, I'm here in Brockville, Ontario, and I don't think there's a bottle shop here yet. And you know, you get very limited options at the LCBO. But there are pockets even in Okinawa. We've had a wine bar in Naha that's ordered wines from us, and you know, not the cheapest stuff either. So there's niches. You might have a hard time on a short visit figuring out where to drink interesting wines. But some of the hotels as well, maybe they've... One of my long-term goals actually is down there in the Chatan area. I don't know. Did you make it up the west side? I know you were dealing with a typhoon, so...
The typhoons weren't that bad. Like, typhoons, by the way, sound scarier. Yeah. What we had was just periods of intense rain for like maybe 10 minutes.
Yeah, so there's a series of hotels along the west side where there's lots of great beaches and snorkeling and scuba options. And, you know, I think there's lots of potential. In a few years, my wife and I, Nozomi, you know, have our sights set on moving down there. So I'd like to even flirt with a wine bar. There's a lot of tourists from Tokyo in that area as well, right? So you can kind of tap into that interest in wine and the price points that go along with Tokyo. So we'll see what happens. But yeah, maybe you notice though in Tokyo that you see really incredible wine shops, tons of French Italian restaurants with really deep lists. And a really key factor for Japan is that Japanese, when they take an interest in a topic, they're very humble and they study formally to learn about that topic. So there's tens of thousands of people on the registers of the Academie du Vin and other wine schools. There's huge numbers of people in the big cities whose basic hobby is wine dinners, get-togethers with friends, constant study and upgrading of their knowledge. So it's a really, all of our winemakers who visit just have this, you know, giddy look on their face because they're so excited about the enthusiasm and the understanding that they encounter with the people taking notes at wine dinners and asking about rootstocks and clones and, you know, that kind of level.
I never thought of this, but Japan should be an excellent market for Canadian wine because they probably come into it with less of the prejudices, with less of the notions of that, you know, if you're going to drink Pinot Noir and Chardonnay, it better be from Burgundy. I imagine a lot of them probably don't have the same of that sort of baggage that goes on in other parts of the world.
Yeah, I think we've made some progress getting our content increased in the wine textbooks, which is helpful because people will show up with one in hand and they're looking to try Title Day because it's now written. So, but when you're not part of the curriculum, then you're just an unknown entity. So the biggest challenge over the years has been reframing Canada for people, because their imagery is Rockies, Northern Lights. They think we're on the 60th parallel, so it doesn't jive with their image of Canada to imagine grape growing. But I think we're especially well positioned with the fact that the Japanese market's heavily Burgundy focused, and our wines offer an excellent alternative stylistically, often in the same wheelhouse, but much more affordable. So that's really been our push for the last few years.
I think I noticed that at Heavenly Vines. Izumi was showing me a magazine where it was comparing some $160 Volnay with $45 Ontario Pinot, and being like, you might like the Volnay more, but you might not like it $120 more.
Exactly. And actually, in that article, they start by saying the County Pinot is more Volnay than the Volnay. We've been received very well by the most accomplished wine experts in Japan. When they're the type of people too who also will taste with an open mind and really, judge wines by what they experience and sensorily. So we've got wines. Japan has one master of wine at the moment. He purchases some wines from us, and the people involved in that article that you saw as well.
And how's everything going at Heavenly Vines since, the last time we talked was 2020. Obviously, a lot's happened, but how is the establishment now?
We chug along, but these last 3-4 years have set back our trajectory of progress, because you may have chosen to go to Japan because the exchange rate's very favorable. One of the things, a byproduct of all the inflation and money printing, was that a lot of capital fled Japan because Japan can't raise interest rates due to their high debt loads. So we've lost, in equivalent terms to the U.S. exchange rate, it'd be like you go from your 75 cents on the U.S. dollar to about 45, 48.
Whoa.
So our costs shot up in addition to also experiencing the inflation from the Canadian side. So in one vintage, some of our wines had to go up 50%, and purchasing's become a real problem, as well as the cash flow has been stifled a bit by that, but it's creeping down, and I have my fingers crossed that we'll see it go a little better over time. And at the same time, it's an equal playing field, because it's the yen that's the issue, so all importers are facing the same issue. But we'll just keep going along, and hopefully the tour that we just did, my strategy there is, if we bring serious wine lovers into the regions, they'll become advocates, enthusiastic advocates, speaking in Japanese to other Japanese wine lovers. And I hope that's a useful strategy for us.
Yeah, I'll talk about that in a second. I will say, I thought your prices were fair at Heavenly Vines. When you know wine well enough, you can sort of tell. It's like, oh, you've really, jacked up the prices. I thought the prices on all your levels of wine in Ontario and BC were quite fair.
Yeah, we just apply the industry standard markups. We're not in a position to, ask for a lot more based on some sort of prestige. We need people to try the wine and recognize it's good value at that price. And we hear that kind of thing all the time. So,
and tell me about the tour. Where did you go? Where, and who did you take?
Yeah, so the group was 8 people. 5 of them joined me last year in the Okanagan as well. So we had great follow-up from the first tour that we did. They're all WSET trained people. One's teaching a course at Academy de Vin, another one works in retail at another wine shop. And so we put together really, truly like wine-centric tour, where about in 4.5 days, we visited 13 wineries with 14 wines wineries involved. Ended up last day in the county. So we made the trip through Toronto's lovely traffic to the county from Niagara. And once you get there, you kind of wash away all your stress. And then they, in the morning the next day, they were back to the airport. But it was really great, because doing it the way we did it as an importer, the wineries gave me kind of special access. So it wasn't just the usual tasting room experience, but chefs were brought in, catered lunches and that sort of thing. We met the proprietors or the winemakers at every stop, pretty much. So they really enjoyed it. And we had incredible weather. I'm always worried. I tell people it's not always cold in Canada, but what is true is the weather's very variable here. You just get the wrong week, see snow flurries or something, right? And then it could be back to 25. So you were back for most of it, but I think this September's been outstanding here in Ontario. So
yeah, a couple gray days recently, but as we tape this on the 27th, it's beautiful, blue, sunny skies, 25, 26. All right. I'm pausing on the wine talk for a second, but I want to hear about the proprietors and the wineries that you specifically went to. But you mentioned the traffic in Toronto. I couldn't get used to how quiet Tokyo, Osaka, Kyoto were. And more than that, the entire time, one honk the entire time. I miss Japan. I miss
the driving.
Do you really
want me to go on my Why Japan's Great rant right now? Or
we were doing it the whole trip. We were doing, What were the things that Canada was better than Japan? Here was the list. Wine, dairy, more salad options. And it kind of ended there. Beyond that, we're like, my God, it's so clean and polite. And there's less asshole drivers. I don't think we saw one super aggressive driver in our entire time in Japan.
Yeah, it's outstanding. My basic starting point for why Japan is awesome in so many ways is that they cultivate a mentality to consider how does your behavior impact others, which is essentially the default underlying logic that manifests in all these other ways. So the example I like to give is, you probably didn't hear a cell phone ring the whole time you're there either.
Nope.
And when you have that default mindset, you would obviously, when the cell phone emerges as a cultural phenomenon, recognize, well, if my ringer is going off in a packed Tokyo train, this is really disruptive to the people around me. So very naturally, the norm becomes that nobody uses a ringer on their phone. Nobody talks on the train. You notice nobody blew smoke in your face probably while you're walking down a sidewalk.
Nope.
Smoking is not allowed on the streets. So if you want to smoke, you go to the little smoking zoo near, you know, outside a building or whatever. All of these things, you know, you didn't hear any horns because it's the same logic there. People are, I joke that they go to driving university because the rigor of their driving lessons is quite comical to me. You know, and you also have a great mass transit system that really relieves a lot of the pressure of the roads. And, you know, I've never experienced traffic. It can happen on a busy long weekend or something on Tokyo highways, but I've never experienced traffic when I do drive occasionally that compares to what you go through in Toronto on a daily basis.
You know what I think it comes down to is there's far less of a culture of narcissism, of self-entitlement. That's sort of, and by the way, let me say, I love Canada. I think Canada's the bee's knees, but I work in sports where I got to rank everything. Canada's great. Japan's better. I think that's the way that I put it.
Yeah. And I'm really glad that you've been now because it's so hard for me to really communicate these things to people until they experience it. But about 2 years ago, a friend of mine from here and his family came after visiting Singapore. It was fun to watch. Just in a few hours, he was picking up on all of the things that I really love about the country. And it's these sorts of things. The tranquility that you feel in a major city center, you know, one of the things I think could make city life so much better is those sorts of things. Get rid of all like the frictions and the noises. And you notice too, like nobody, you know, it's not a mad rush to get on a train. Everyone lines up. People, you know, all stay on one side of an escalator. It's these things all just remove so much of the tension that you could experience in city life.
I almost want to go to Pearson Airport. And anytime a flight lands from Japan, I just want to apologize. I'm like, listen, it's going to be different. And I'm so sorry. I want to go full Canadian and apologize ahead of time to what they're about to experience the moment they get into a cab and try to get on the 401.
Did you experience the good thing is that Canada is not the only downgrade. So if they've traveled abroad, it's to be expected for them. But did you notice when you arrived in Japan, how smooth and how like all the staff at the airport were super attentive. Nobody just on their phone and making you apologize for interrupting or asking a question. And you blow through customs because it's super well-staffed and all of those things. And
the well-staffed is the key. Same thing in the train stations. Yeah. There's always people there helping you. You know, that to me is the number one thing. Yeah. All right. We'll get back to wine because we could just spend even more of this. And again, anyone listening, massive fan of Canada, top 8 nation on planet Earth, but Japan just is higher.
A mark for Canada is great housing, right? So the housing quality in Japan is not like it is here. And that's the thing I always think about when I come home, especially in a small town like this, that people are house rich, land rich. It's really nice. But to counter that, like I live in Tokyo where winters are very comfortable. You know, the worst we get is maybe a daytime high of +7. So you can be outdoors a lot. So you don't rely on, you know, huge indoor spaces as much to make life comfortable. But
what vineyards did you visit?
Leaning Post is perfectly situated between Pearson Airport and Niagara Falls. So straight out of the gate, you know, our group arrived around 5 p.m. and we headed straight to Leaning Post, and we got to meet Ilya and Nadia, you know, have some wines and dinner with them, probably tasted about 12 wines, and beautiful spot, beautiful evening. I imagine you've been to their tasting area. Yeah. They were crushing some Pinot, I think, that day as well. And it was really great to start at that end of the peninsula to understand the geography and geology that, you know, makes the wine region what it is. So then the following day, we started with a little, it's not called Maid of the Mist. I don't know why I want to call it that, but the little boat, they went to the falls. Then we had a really nice leisurely lunch at Stratus. Dean was there to, you know, taste with us. He's a huge fan of Japanese jeans, so we wanted to talk about all his clothes from Japan. And then we had a nice outdoor lunch, and Charles Baker joined us as well. So that was a start of like these really, really gracious hosting that the wineries put on for us. And then we strolled around Niagara on the lake, and in the evening we were back to an outdoor dinner at Lakeview Wines. We have the Creekside and some of the Lakeview and some of the entry wines, the Eastdale's there. So it's nice to see a bit bigger operation. And but they put on an outdoor dinner with a chef that they brought in too, and that was really great. And then we've had some really jam-packed days, not in a specific order, but Taz Redstone in the evening, and dinner at Redstone. Flat Rock put on an outstanding dinner with, I'm forgetting his last name, but Chef Todd, Smoke and Barrel. He said one of his goals is to, when he has foreign visitors, is to work with accents of their cuisine to show how they compare with local wines. He did a great job of that with infusing Japanese flavors into the food. Our guests were really, really pleased with that. We had a really nice tasting at Foreign Affair, so we're also trying to show a bit of the range of the region. Hidden Bench, outstanding tasting with Harold there. Who am I forgetting? And then the County, Norm Hardy and Kloss and Chase on the last day.
Yeah, I mean, you got to go to Kloss and Chase.
Oh, Rosewood. How can I forget Rosewood? And Batchelder. Thomas Batchelder.
What was their reaction to Batchelder? What was their reaction to Thomas? Because, I mean, that man is high energy, scientific, artistic, will go for hours and hours.
Yeah, I think they got the vibe. There's a lot of words, so for people struggling with the language, it's not the easiest task, but I think they felt the vibes, and he had the maps going, and we tasted easily a dozen wines. And it was neat to see a modest exterior of an operation versus the quality in the glass. And but what really struck me, having not been for a while, is how the culinary level is really increasing all the time, and how so many wineries are starting to incorporate that into what they do, which is really good.
Also, what I found impressive, like say Flat Rock, specifically with them, is they have so much of their older wines that they keep a lot of their library. And I think that's important, because we can show what we're doing now, but if you can show that this wine that's 8 years old is even better and you've seen the complexity, I think that also helps just to make people realize the level of quality and seriousness we do here.
Yeah. And at dinner, we had it's comparative that way. So we had a 2010 Nadja's Vineyard, 2016 Gravity Pinot, 2013 Rusty Shard. And
you had the 16? Sorry to interrupt. I had one of the last bottles of the 16. It was so good. When I went to Heavenly Vines,
there's three left.
There was three left. I noticed that.
We have three of those, and then we have some 19s and 20s. And one of the things for us is it takes us some time to sell the wine, and they get better. So as we get lower and lower in inventory, the sales kick off, and the unfortunate paradox. But I've had a good chance to, you know, let these wines age too, and I agree 100%. Like, I think both, you know, whites too, but a lot of Canadian reds, Ontario reds, are going to really excel after they have time in bottle for about 5 years, I think.
Yeah, no, I agree. What do you think was the overall impression of the people that you brought there? What do you think What were their thoughts by the end of it?
Yeah, I think they were genuinely happy. I think the fact that five of those people joined us in the Okanagan last year and then chose to come this time shows that, you know, Canadian wines really made an impression. On the Okanagan tour, they all said it exceeded their expectations, both in wine quality and in the aesthetics of the region. Like, the Okanagan's pretty grand, but
yeah,
you know, I forgot to mention we went to On Seven as well. And
ooh, so you got the high end. You got the high end Chardonnay.
Yeah, and we'll be bringing their wines to Japan too, and so we got to, you know, experience that kind of, you know, surprising quality that is coming out of, you know, a modest exterior as well, and that was pretty neat. So I think they really loved it. Following their Facebook postings too, you'll see like some of 80, 100 of their friends are liking and commenting, and that's they really captured the experience. A lot of great photographs. So some of them, one of our guys just decided to spend another night in the county. You know, put down. He was in there in the morning at. We stayed at the Harbor Inn in Prince Edward County, and when I went down in the morning, he's there paying for another night because he's just loving it. So it's really good. And I hope that yearly and maybe eventually twice a year we can do these tours. I'll try to build in Nova Scotia sometimes as well. And then if we can find some producers that see the benefits of being in Japan with us from Quebec, I'd love to do that too.
It's such a great idea because what you do is they become the advocates and they start spreading the word. In some ways, indirectly and directly, that'll help Heavenly Vines down the road as well.
Yeah, it's, you know, my Japanese is not proficient, so I'm held back by what I can communicate and what I can do actively online. Well, ChatGPT is my new buddy, but we'll see how. Hopefully, I'm getting feedback that ChatGPT actually does good translations in Japanese. But people believe their friends more, right? When somebody you know, a friend vouches for something, then you're on board. So it's been my mindset for a long time that that's how we have to grow our business, because we're not going to get huge marketing money, and you know, it's got to be done in a kind of hustling fashion. So
I love it, Jamie. I appreciate you taking the time. I enjoy that you're drinking your Darth Vader coffee.
Oh, you saw that, did you?
Yeah, your Darth Vader coffee mug. And again, just got to tell people, if you've never tried Canadian wine, you just want to try to find good wine, go to Heavenly Vines in Tokyo. It's close to the subway. It's easy to get to. And I had an absolute blast with your wife drinking some, as I said, some Clos and Chase Chardonnay. And
I appreciate that.
And the funny thing is everyone's laughing. The only thing I brought home from 2.5 weeks to Japan was a bottle of BC Pinot Noir. That was the only thing in my bag that I brought home.
Which one did you get? Meyer?
Yeah, I got some Meyer Pinot Noir.
Yeah, that's awesome. We've had California visitors to Japan load up their suitcase with our wines and things like that. I sent a Norwegian couple back with 4 bottles of BC or Ontario Pinot and Gamay too. And yeah, it's a lot of fun. You know, for all your viewing audience who has friends too in Japan, when you want to send them a bottle of wine, all you got to do is email us or order online, and the wines get anywhere. So,
and where do people go, Jamie, if they want to websites, Twitter, Instagram? Where's the best place for people to go to get more information on Heavenly Vines?
Yeah, Instagram and our website, heavenlyvines.com. And you just switch the tab to English if that's your preferred choice over Japanese.
Jamie, really appreciate it. Thanks for being on the pod.
Thanks.
Thanks, everyone, for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Remember, you can find me on Spotify, iTunes, Apple, and wherever quality podcasts are sold.
Thanks for listening to the Matt Talks Wine and Stuff with Interesting People podcast. Happy hunting.